Welcome to the Vanguard Church podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Look at John chapter 3, verse 1 today. We're going to answer this question: how do we have an eternal new beginning with Jesus? Verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now let's read this in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek. Ein de anthropos. Now there was a man, ek, from, to, tone, the pharisaon. What's that sound like to you? The Pharisees. See, we think of these people as the bad guys. But nobody in the first century, till Jesus came on the scene, thought of the Pharisees as the bad guys. The Pharisees were the standard. They were the ones that knew who God was. They were the experts on knowing God. And so Nicodemus, Onama, one named Nicodemus, Archon, ruler, ton ion de on, ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus, somebody say it, by what? Come on, say it louder, by what? By night. Came to him by night. The Greek word is nuktos. Came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you're a teacher, come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now look at John chapter 3, verse 2, an English translation here. This one came to him. Nicodemus came to him. He came to him at night. He had a lot to lose. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you're from God. You came as a teacher. No one can, that is able to perform all the signs you do. They're emphasizing here the ones you do. Nobody else does this kind of stuff. Where you've blown our minds with the miracles and the signs that you've done. And we've watched you do them in essence. The reality, the focus, the fact, listen to this, unless God is with him. Nicodemus is saying to Jesus, Jesus, you are Emmanuel. You, Jesus, are God with us. See, Jesus is the only one who can make this statement. I am God. Jesus. He is God. Now, things we learn about Jesus and Nicodemus. There's a few things. Look at these in your program. Nicodemus was an outright leader of the Jews himself. Nicodemus was fearful to be associated with Jesus, so he came to him in the night because this was going to cost him a lot. He had a lot to lose. Number three, Nicodemus declared Jesus was a teacher, a rabbi from God. Number four, Nicodemus knew no ordinary human could do what Jesus did. Number five, Nicodemus acknowledged the miracles Jesus did actually happened. And number six, Nicodemus declared God was with Jesus. No true Jew is willing to admit all this. Now, ironically enough, Jesus is a Jew. And what you see playing out on the world stage Isn't it interesting? The President of the United States says that that the United States is going to occupy the Gaza Strip. And isn't it interesting when you read the Bible? The Bible says that that strip of land, Israel, you are to dedicate to the sojourner. It's interesting. And so we see it playing out. And I'm not telling you all this to tell you what my opinion is of any of that. I want you to understand that what we're talking about today has been going on for thousands of years and will continue. And Israel is the focus of the universe, not the United States. Israel is the focus of God's universe. And here is a leader of Israel, a Pharisee, a rabbi himself, coming to Jesus saying, "Hey, I just want to tell you, you got something going on we ain't got." And I want you to understand today, Jesus has something going on that you ain't got. And you want Jesus on your team. Regardless of who you cheer for this afternoon, the winning team, you ready, is Jesus' team. Amen? That is the winning team. This is Super Sunday. I got news for you. Every Sunday is Super Sunday. In Jesus' economy, the kingdom comes through the signs and the wonders and the miracles of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So how do we have an eternal new beginning here? Well, are you willing to declare these things? Jesus is God. Jesus can do signs and miracles for you, just like he did then. And he can restore whatever the enemy has taken from you. And so we come here today and we say, Jesus, we stand on the name of Jesus, and we ask you to restore what the enemy has taken from us. Amen. Amen? Amen? So how do we have this eternal new beginning? Number one, you got to come to Jesus. You go, well, what if I want to come to this or come to that? You can come to this and you can come to that. But you can't have eternal life unless you come to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. There is no other way to get to the eternal kingdom except through coming to Jesus. So Nicodemus has come to Jesus. That's good. Now he's come in the night, and all of us kind of come like Nicodemus. And you know as well as I do, we all like to come in such a way that we still control our coming. And so, I'll come to you, Jesus, but I need to come on my terms. Number two, declare who Jesus is. See, Jesus, and we're going to see this in the text today, Jesus has a unique DNA code. He has a genetic code. He is the monogene, the monogenu. He is the unique one who came through a miraculous conception between Mary and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. You say, I can't declare that. Then you can experience eternal life. You've got to come to Jesus because he's the only way to get there. And when you come to him, you got to say, hey, King Jesus, you are God. Number three, you got to acknowledge his works. You can do what I can't do. You can do what nobody else in my life can do. You can do signs. You can do wonders. You can do miracles. I can't do those things, but you can. Number four, you ask him to do the same in your life. You ask him to do the same in your life. I am coming to Jesus today. And I am saying, Jesus, you are God. I am not. Very important. If I'm God, we got lots of problems. I've got lots of problems. Jesus is God. And Jesus can, will, and wants to do miracles in your life. Amen? He wants to do miracles in your life. So look at Nicodemus' response. Verse 3, Jesus answered him, "Amen, amen, truly, truly. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus is saying to Nick? You can see me. Nicodemus, you can see me. You can see what I'm doing. But you have no idea why. And you can't be a part of it. How startling is that? This man has spent his entire life studying the Torah, the scriptures. He believes he is a follower of the one true God. And Jesus says, "Nick, let me tell you something. You see what I'm doing. You see me. But you have no idea why. And you're not a part of it." That's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. Because Nicodemus was seen as the expert. And Jesus said, "I got news for you. Not only are you not an expert, you're not even a part of the team." Wow. Wow. Do you know what keeps you from believing in Jesus? I want you to think about this. What keeps you from believing in Jesus? So look at Nicodemus' response. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he's old?" That's a great question. And Nicodemus could say, "How can I, an old man, how can I be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" All of us do this, so let's cut Nick some slack here for a second. He is trying to shove a life of faith into his earthly understanding. He is trying to shove a life of faith into his earthly understanding. It won't work. It won't work. You will not understand the eternal things of God from your perspective. You know what we all want? Control. Do you know what keeps you from getting what God has for you? Control. You have to say to God, "God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I trust you. You are good and you are loving." Going back to the motherland, no less than 20 times I drive by the spot where my mother was killed, which was just a little over a mile from where we lived. And my daughter, Journey Grace, says to me, "Does that affect you? What do you think?" Well, of course. Of course. Of course I have to come face to face with all the voice inside of me that says, "Can you trust a God that allowed that?" And let me just tell you, yes, I do. I do. You say, "You're just saying that?" No, that yes has cost me. That yes has cost me. As a 19-year-old, I had to come face to face with the reality that there are things of my earthly life that can't be understood with my earthly mind. That I have to choose to trust that Almighty God, in His sovereignty, has chosen a life for me that does not always make sense to my natural mind. Amen? I got news for you. I'm not the only one that has to do that. You will not experience the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that God has for your life if you must control them and they must be on your terms. You must understand when you wake up in the morning that if you could say this every day, I have no idea what you're doing, God, but I join you. I join you. I join you. I don't know what you're doing in my marriage. I join you. I don't know what you're doing in my children. I join you. I don't know what you're doing in my grandchildren. I join you. I don't know what you're doing in Vanguard. I join you. I join you. See, godly leaders, you ready? Godly leaders are people that are just crazier than you. Because they've decided to lead at a level with no control either. And complete trust in the sovereign hand of God. And it's a choice. It's a choice that we make every day. So look at Jesus' response, verse 5. Jesus answered. Amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, udatos, and the Spirit, pneumatos, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Dunatai, he can't enter. He doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the power. So what is he saying here? Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, thank you for your question. Human birth gives you access, you ready? To earth. I'm looking out over the room. Looks like all of you were born. I can see you. And your presence is evidence you were born. And because you were born, you have access to earthly things. All right? Second of all, human birth gives you access to earthly things. Spiritual birth, guess what? It gives you access to eternal things. Amen? Amen? Now, I'm looking out at you. I don't know if you've been spiritually born. Only you and Jesus know that. I know you've been earthly born, but you have to decide if you're willing to be reborn through the Spirit so that you can have access to eternity. And that will be your decision. No one else can make that decision for you. No one else can make that decision for you. You have to decide. And strangely enough, you didn't decide to be earthly born. Did anybody? Oh, no one did. But everybody gets to decide if you'll join the eternal party. And that's your decision. And that's what all of this is about. That's what all of church is about. Jesus continues. Look at verse 6. Now that which is born of the flesh, guess what? It's flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. That word again, the Greek word is anothen, and again simply means new. Do not marvel that you have to be born new. Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, said that those that are born into Jesus, old things are passing away, all things are becoming new. I don't know about you, I like new things. You know, and things break a lot these days, right? I break a lot these days. And God is saying, listen, if you'll follow me, I'll make all the old, worn down, confusing, broken, sorrowful, dark, depressing, discouraging things of your life, I'll make them all new. Amen? Amen. Come on, amen? Amen? So I drive by my mom's spot where she was killed. And I remember my mom's words. She would say to me as a kid, to our whole family, see, my dad lost his wife, his stepmom, Mamie, and his father, my pa, Ralph, all in a 2-week period of time. It's tough, isn't it? 2 weeks. I came home. I flew into Lexington, Kentucky, and was driven by my relative Martha Jo to Glasgow, Kentucky. I was a part of my pa Ralph's funeral. I read Psalm 23 over him. And then I had one final conversation with my mother that has set the trajectory of my entire life. And then I got back in an airplane, went back to Lynchburg, Virginia, and before I saw her again, she was killed. And she would always say, you know, that Mamie, she's going to be the death of me. You know, what? Why do you say that? That's a terrible thing to say, Mom. She's like, I don't know. That's just how I feel. And, of course, Mamie called my mother that day. Can you take me to the grocery store? Yes, I will. So she took her to the grocery store. And before they could get back home, within 1 mile from home, they were both killed. And I went to my mom's graveside, as I always do. She's now been gone for almost 33 years. The anniversary of this church is the anniversary of her death. And if the Lord tarries 12 more years, she will be in the grave longer than she was on this earth. In 12 years, she will be in heaven longer than she was here. That just struck me profoundly this time, about how short this life is. And what are you cashing in your soul for? What are you investing your soul in? Because the earthly things of this life are going to burn away. And the only thing that's going to last is what you did for Jesus. That's it. That's it. So I stood on the backside of her tombstone and I knelt and I said, Mama, I just want you to know that I will serve Jesus. I said out loud in front of my youngest daughter, Journey Grace, I will serve Jesus till the day I die. I will not waste 1 ounce of suffering that I've gone through because of your death. I will not waste it on my selfishness, on my selfish spirit, on my myopic mindset, on my desire to control the outcome of my life. I will show up and watch you show out. And if you choose not to, that's your sovereign choice too. But you are worthy. You died for me. I will live for you. I will not waste the suffering of my life. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. And if it's good enough for him, it's certainly good enough for me. If it's good enough for the perfect God of the universe to demonstrate and model what humanity looks like, it's good enough for me too. As Peter said this morning to me in my devotions, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, and whatever you will experience in this life, it is a part of the grace that God has for your life. Stand firm in the grace. Do you understand that if you will stand firm in the suffering of your life, God will increase his grace to you? He's got more grace that he wants to pour out on your life. He's got more blessings that he wants to pour out on your life. He has more peace. He has more gentleness. He has more hope. He has more joy. He has more love. You are going to become someone you'd never imagined you could be. Amen? New beginnings begin with birth in Jesus through the Spirit. Number five, be reborn through the Spirit. Do you understand? You know, well, Pastor, if I give my life to Christ, will things get easier? No, they're going to get harder. How come? Because the Bible tells me in Romans 7 and 8 and in Galatians 5 that the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And so what your flesh wants to do, your spirit's going to say, no, don't do that. And your flesh is going to say what your spirit wants to do, no, don't do that. And you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide. Am I going to trust the Lord? Am I going to believe that the Lord is good and that He is loving in spite of the sorrow and the suffering of my life? I've got to make that choice. You've got to make that choice for your life. You have to make that choice. Yeah, but where was God? I don't know. I'm not God. Talk to Jesus. Ask Him where He was. Ask Him where He was when you were abused. Ask Him where He was when you were cheated and lied on and stolen and all the mistreatment of your life. Ask Him where He was. Ask Him to show you. Ask Him to speak to you in visions and dreams. Ask Him to awaken you and say things to you that you cannot explain away. Ask Him to tell you things that only He could know that maybe you have forgotten. Ask Him. Ask Him. My mother spoke things over my life, and I will not make excuses for who God has called me to be. I will stand on the truth of who God has created me to be. I will learn how to be a better version of that person. And I will listen to the rebukes that come from many ways and many sources. But I will not let go of the calling that God has placed on my life. How about you? How about you? Well, you get it. You go, well, I don't think it's all that important. It doesn't really matter what you think. He thinks that you're important. You go, how do you know? Because He died for you. And God doesn't die for junk. God dies for the greatest treasure of this universe. You say, who's that? You. 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 Would you want to be your friend? When you think about the things you tell yourself, would you want a friend like that? Why do you think such horrible things about yourself? Why do you go to the least common denominator about your existence? You go, well, I don't know. It's because we're broken, I understand that. But God, listen, you're trying to control your life and the outcome of your life. And if you'll let go of control and just say, Lord, I accept who you've created me to be, He will transform you. You will become a different person. Amen? That's what it means to be reborn, by the way. That's what it means to be reborn. I sit down with people and go, I don't know, I don't think there's any hope for my marriage. I go, let me tell you, let me give you one word, Jesus. There's always hope. If the two of you will do what Jesus tells you to do, there will be signs, wonders, and miracles done in your marriage. That's a promise. That's a promise. That's a promise. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. You ever notice that? Go outside in the morning. Where did it go? Where did it go? You feel it, it's gone. Jesus says, listen, that is what the Spirit does spiritually. You hear its sound. You hear its sound. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. The pneuma, the Spirit, the pneumatos moves. I remember as an 8-year-old, when God spoke to me for the first time, I was at Antioch Baptist Church in Knob Lick, Kentucky, real place. And I heard my name and I turned around and I said to the people by me, yes? When the Spirit speaks, you'll know it. You go, the Spirit doesn't speak to me. Well, the Spirit has spoken, you haven't listened. If you'll listen today, you go speak whatever you say. I'll do. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to hear that. Okay, I can't help you. Because the Spirit wants to speak. And let me just tell you something. When He speaks, you're changed. You're changed. You're changed. You're transformed. You're reborn. You hear the sound. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be? Me being such a scholar that I am, how can these things be?" He blew Nicodemus's mind. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things?" We call this a theological flex. Let me say it another way. Nick, you're an expert. How can you be such an idiot? How can you be so ignorant? These are the truths of God. See, Paul then comes along in Corinthians and says, God chooses the foolish, me, to confound the wise. God picks those who don't need to be somebody to become somebody in the kingdom of God. That's who God calls. God's looking for people that don't need to make a name for themselves, but are willing to make His name famous in all the land. That's you. That's you. That's me. That's us. Look at verse 11. "Truly, truly, I mean, I say to you, speak of what we know and bear witness to what we've seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you handle if I tell you heavenly things?" You say, what is Jesus saying to us? Here's what He's saying. It's real simple. If you're not going to let Jesus govern the earthly things of your life, He's not going to show you spiritual things. He's not going to show you heavenly things. He's not going to show you eternal things. But see, the moment that you say, I trust you with the earthly things of my life, all of a sudden the spiritual world opens up and you begin to see the heavens and the kingdom and the eternal. You begin to experience the spiritual. And all of a sudden, you begin to understand that the invisible is more real than the visible. But it's your choice. It's your choice. If you're not willing to trust Him with your earthly things, you ain't going to see the eternal things. Verse 13, "No one has ascended into heaven except He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus is talking about Himself here. And it's a foreshadowing of what's going to come. He descended, Philippians tells us. He emptied Himself and came as a servant. And He didn't consider equality with God something to grasp, but He let go of it. He emptied Himself, the kenosis of Jesus. It's the hyperstatic union of Jesus becoming a human as God. Blows my mind. Should blow your mind. And listen to me, if all of this makes sense to your natural mind, I've wasted your time. This is about faith. This is about you understanding that there is a world, there is a universe, a spiritual universe that's going to last forever that you don't understand with your own mind. And we have a whole world of people out there chasing after the New Age movement because they want a feeling. God's got more than a feeling for you. He has an eternity for you. God is calling you to it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, why was the serpent lifted up in the wilderness? This is a strange story. Because God told Moses, I want you to build a statue of a bronze serpent that represents their sinfulness, and when they look at it, they'll be forgiven. They'll be healed. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you know that story you taught in Sunday school? If you will look at me when I'm lifted up on a cross, you will be healed. You will be healed. You will be healed. You will experience eternal healing. Amen. whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This sets up the most popular verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. And I want you to listen to it in the Greek text. Utos gar, agape sein. Sound familiar? Agape, love. Hatheos, tone cosmos. This, for love, God, the world. Now, we have to mix that around, and so it makes sense English, but I want you to hear it in the Greek text. This, for love, God, the world. I love that. For God so loved the cosmos, the world. Oste ton weon, ton monogene. Adokin. Adokin means to give. Ah, to give? Here's what the Father said. What is love? We got all these horrible definitions of love in our society right now. Horrible definitions of love. Listen to me. Love has never been sex. Love has nothing to do initially with sexuality, any more than it has to do with eating a cheeseburger. Okay? Love, God is love, 1 John tells us. And God wants you to know that love is what he did for you. You say, then what is love? He gave. What did he give? His son. And more importantly, here's what he gave. He gave you a relationship with him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? God said, listen, I love you so much. You do? Yes. I want to give you a relationship with me. Perfect love. I want you to be in relationship with me. God doesn't, you ready? He doesn't need you. He wants you. Now, we all know in marriage, you go, well, you need me. Okay, and it's a good to be needed, right? But we all want to be wanted. Right? We all want to be wanted. Listen to me. God wants you. He wants you. God wants relationship with you so much that he sent the weon monogene. He sent the son that is the unique genetic one. Isn't that cool? Nobody else has the DNA Jesus has. By the way, men, Jesus had the DNA of Mary and God the Father. There was no male involved in the conception of Jesus. That's crazy. By faith, you have to believe that. You go, I don't believe that. Then you can't experience eternal life in Jesus. And then listen to what he says. That all who believe in him shall not perish. But they'll receive what? Life eternal. Listen to these words. Alla eke zone ionion. What does that mean? Life for all ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. You ready? If you will accept Jesus, you will live forever. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the good news. So listen to me. I don't understand why my mom had to die the way she did. But I trust him. And he'll tell me what I need to know when I get there. I trust him. He is good. He loves me. That's all that matters. I trust my Father. Only you can make that decision. So number six, choose the gift of God's love. Who is that? That's Jesus. Listen to the good news, verse 13. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. See, if you don't accept Jesus, you're already condemned. Because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So how do we experience this eternal new beginning? Number seven, you publicly live for Jesus in the light. You publicly live for Jesus in the light. Little trivia for you. What time of day did Jesus speak these words to Nicodemus? Huh? How do we know that, Josh? In verse 2, it says, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Have you ever thought about the fact that the most popular, well-known verse in the history of the Bible was spoken to one individual at nighttime? Kind of cool, huh? And if you go back and you read these last three verses later, and you think about them in the context of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night, these are three very offensive verses. Because Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, hey, listen to me, Nick. People who come into the light don't need to come to me at night. People who come to the light don't need to live in darkness, because darkness is where evil deeds are lived out. Right? Jesus simply says to Nicodemus, come into the light.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.